Genesis chapter 1. We touched on something Sunday night that we're going to go a little bit deeper into today. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, we can find a really good indication of what God wanted for man from day one. And it starts over there in verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." All right, now, we touched on this last Sunday night, but we're going to take a look at it again real briefly to kind of set the stage for what He wants to do here. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Now, we've got two words here, image and likeness. Now, the word image, it gives the impression of us being made to look like God. This word image, it means, in essence, like a shadow or a reflection. Now, you know, if you go outside on a bright sunny day and you stand out there and the sun is to your back and you start doing things like this, moving your arms and your leg and all that, your shadow, the shadow that you're casting, is going to be doing exactly what you do. That shadow is the image of you, in essence. Now, it doesn't look exactly like you because it's just a shadow, but God, this word is being used to try and get a point home to us. He says, "Let us make man in our image." The word image also implies reflection. You know what it's like when you stand in front of a mirror and you look in that mirror. Who do you see? You. God says, "Let us make man in our image. Let us make man in our reflection," so that when man stands and looks at us, man is going to see what he is supposed to be. Man's going to see, in essence, what he looks like. Now, try and stay away from just the realm of a physical understanding of this, because it's a lot deeper than that. Because the next word, where he says likeness, this word likeness, it's not the exact same word as image. In the Hebrew, it's not the exact same word, and it doesn't mean the exact same thing. Now, it's similar, but it doesn't mean the exact same thing. This word likeness, part of its meaning is in our pattern. Now, maybe a better way to understand it would be, let us make man to look like us and to operate the way that we operate. Let us make man to be a reflection of us. I, God, will make man to be a reflection of me, who I am, and to operate in the same kind of way that I operate. Now, again, he's not saying, let's create another form of deity. That's not what he's trying to imply here at all. But he's saying, let's make man in our likeness and our reflection, and then also let's create him to operate in the pattern by which that we operate. Then, now look at the next thing he says. He says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them have dominion. Let us make man in our likeness as our reflection to operate in the same kind of pattern by which we operate, and let's let man have dominion over, and we'll simplify it by saying, creation. So here's God. He is God. He creates the natural world. It's the only thing that we know. Now, we talk about, you know, spiritual and all this other, but when it comes to what we have tangibly seen with our own eyes, the only thing that we have tangibly seen with our own eyes is the natural. So from that perspective, the only thing that we know is the natural. We look out in space and we see the stars, and the universe is so huge and so large and just so absolutely immense. We see pictures of planets. We see the moon. We here on our own planet, we see all the different components of the natural creation. And so from the perspective of what we have literally tangibly seen, we've only seen creation. We haven't yet literally been in heaven or seen any of that. All we have literally seen, tangibly speaking, is this creation. Now, to our minds, it can be difficult to understand that this universe fits into the realm of a thing called eternity. I mean, this is all we see, this is all we know, and we know that the universe is just unbelievably huge. And it's hard for us with our minds to grasp the concept there's something bigger. But there is, and it's called eternity. Now, God is saying, I'm going to create all of this creation. Then what we're going to do, we're going to make man to be a reflection of us as looking into a mirror. Man, we will create man to look like us and to operate according to the same pattern by which we operate. Then what we're going to do, we're going to take this reflection that we have commissioned to operate the way we operate and put this reflection into what we have created and commission this reflection called man to have dominion in the realm of creation, in the realm of what we have created. So, the Bible says that God said this, and it happened. Man was created in the image of God, in the pattern of His operation, having the right to operate the way God operates, and the realm of man's dominion is in the natural. So, we're down here, and we are to operate. Now listen closely to when I say this, because I don't want you to run off on a tangent and get some goofy ideas. We are to operate as God operates, only we do it in the realm of the natural. His likeness, His image, reflection, His likeness, pattern of operation in the natural. God has said, you, creation of mine, have dominion in the realm of what I have created. There's no other part of creation, not dogs, not cats, not water buffaloes, not anything, has this dominion. Only you, because I, God, have spoken this, and my word won't return void. So because I've spoken this, I have established man, humanity, to have dominion in creation. Now, the word dominion comes from the word domain. It comes from the word dominate. The word domain, the word dominate, the word dominion, it's all a part of the same family. Now think of it like this. You cannot have dominion if you don't have anything over which you are to dominate. Are you with me? You cannot have anything to dominate unless there is a domain in which to dominate. He said, you, man, have dominion over creation. Creation is your domain. Now, dominate. Okay? Now, let's think about this for a moment. Everything was going fine till Adam goofed up. Look in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, it says that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. All right, now we know that at this particular point, this is where they messed up. Now, when Adam did this, everything changed. Almost everything changed. Now, I'll show you what I mean here in a moment. When Adam did this, the Bible tells us, and you read about it over in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, where it talks about that how that because of what Adam did, sin entered into the world. Now, that word world means the sum total of the material universe. Because of what Adam did, sin entered into the sum total of the material universe. And because sin entered into the sum total of the material universe, Romans 5:12 also tells us that death entered in through that sin. Now, prior to what Adam did, death did not exist in the sum total of the material universe because sin did not exist in the sum total of the material universe. Adam was the key. So the devil comes, tempts Eve, Adam and Eve eat, and things change. Now look over in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Now the Bible tells us here that in Luke chapter 4 that Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone to be made bread. Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now look at verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Now stop right there. Now what we've done is we've taken this verse, and here's how it's been taught. In many occasions. When Adam sinned, he handed dominion of everything over to the devil, and the devil is informing Jesus of what happened, as though Jesus wouldn't have already known, right? And the devil is talking to Jesus, and he says, listen, Jesus, I got a deal for you. You see all this? All these kingdoms? He said, I'll give you the power and the glory of all of them because that is delivered unto me and to whomsoever I will give it. So the image that we get out of this is that because of what Adam did, he handed control over to the devil. And now the devil has control. And he's talking to Jesus, and he said, hey, Jesus, listen. You want all this? Just look at it. You want all this? I give it to you. You can have it. It's no big deal. Because, see, it's been given to me, and to whomsoever I'll give it. So we come away from this thinking that the devil has control. But nowhere in Scripture does it say that God's word has been nullified concerning who he gave dominion to. He said, I give dominion to man. And nowhere in Scripture does it say that dominion has been handed over to the devil. When God said, let's create man to be a reflection of us, give him the ability to operate the way we do, and then create a domain in which he will have dominion. The devil says, hey Jesus, look at all of these kingdoms. What's a kingdom? It's a domain. He says, Jesus. See, when we think of kingdoms in this passage, our minds immediately go to, okay, the Roman kingdom, the Greek kingdom, the Chinese kingdom, the Spanish kingdom. We're thinking in terms of that. Do you understand? He wasn't talking only about... How could he have been talking about the United States? It didn't exist. Are you with me? How could he have been talking about Canada? It didn't exist. When he's talking about kingdoms, he's not simply talking about regions or countries of the world that we would think of in terms of empires. He's talking about the dominion of creation. He's talking about everything related to what exists. Now, when he says that it's been handed over to me, look at the way he says this. He says, look at all these kingdoms, Jesus. All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. He's lying. He's lying in this. Because the dominion had never been given to him. He didn't have the capacity to give the dominion to anybody else. God said, I give dominion to man. And nowhere in Scripture do we find that the devil had ever been given dominion. You say, well, what's going on here in this? All right, remember when Jesus, over in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. All right, now let me ask you something. If the devil had as much, the way we've always looked at this passage here in Luke chapter 4, you know, all these kingdoms have been given to me and I'll give it to you because I can do that and all that. If the devil had really that much dominion, don't you think there'd been a whole lot more killing and destroying than what we've already seen? Especially from the standpoint of people that were serving God. If the devil actually had the dominion, God said, and I challenge anybody to find in Scripture where Satan has been given the dominion. It's not in there. God said he gave dominion to man. What God did not say was, this dominion is contingent on what kind of nature you have on the inside. He said, I've given dominion to man. And so here's man, we've got this dominion. Adam turns around. Folks, if the devil could do whatever he wanted to do, then why did he have to go through Adam? Well, because Adam had been given dominion. So he had to operate through the dominion of Adam to get Adam to do something in the natural that would cause Adam's relationship with God to be interrupted so that Satan would then be able to operate. But how does Satan operate? Look over in John chapter 8. Jesus is having another one of his famous dissertations with all of these Pharisees. And in the middle of this, verse 44, look what he says. Ye are of your father, the devil, And the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He says, you're of your father, the devil. In other words, he's saying, listen, you've got the same nature as the devil himself. It's because you've got that nature, you are now out there doing the lusts, or performing in the realm of the natural, the lusts or the desires of your father, the devil. Man still had dominion, but they were exercising dominion in the realm of the natural out of a sin nature. That's why there was the stealing and the killing and the destroying. Because unless you've got a natural body, you can't exercise dominion in the realm of the natural. And the devil doesn't have a natural body. That's why he has to operate through the authority of humanity. And the only way that he can really do this is if he can get humanity into the position of having a nature just like his own. Because once man has the devil's nature, the devil can impose his lust upon man and man will carry them out.
That's right.
And so Jesus says, you're of your father the devil. That's why you're doing these things. That's because you've got a nature like the devil himself, and it's through that nature he's able to influence you to perform the works he himself would do if he had his own body. See, we've given the devil so much credit. Well, you know, he can just do whatever he wants. He can't. He's got to find somebody who will come in league with him. Remember over there in Luke where he said, this power, he showed him all the kingdoms, and he said, this power I'll give unto you. That word power is not the word dunamis. The word dunamis, we get the word dynamite, you know, power. The word dunamis is associated with the power of God, you know, the power to create and all this kind of. The word there in Luke chapter 4, when the devil says, this power I'll give unto you, it's not the word dunamis. That word, I forget the Greek word. Anyway, that word over there in Luke chapter 4, where the devil says, this power I'll give unto you, he's saying, this right to operate I will give unto you. I'll give you the right to operate in this. In other words, what he was trying to do was get Jesus to do the same thing that Adam had done, so Jesus would have a change of nature and then the devil could work his lust through Jesus as well. Because Jesus already had a nature that gave him the right to operate and exercise dominion on this planet. And the devil knew, if he keeps this nature, I can't work through him. Or I cannot arbitrarily impose upon him what I want done. His nature is more powerful than my nature. I learned that over in Isaiah chapter 14, where he talks about, I will ascend, I will exalt, I will become like the Most High. He tried that and he found out that there is a nature that's more powerful than his own. And he's going to Jesus, and now get this, he's going to Jesus and he's saying, Jesus, I got a deal for you, man. The deal of the century. You see all of this? The right to operate in dominion, the right to operate here in this world, Jesus, I'll give it to you. All you have to do is worship me. And Jesus is standing there thinking, you dummy, I already have it. And he proved it. Remember, he went around healing, casting out devils, raising the dead, the lame walked. In other words, Jesus already, Jesus was exercising His dominion. He had to, see, this is why He had to come down and operate in a body. That's because you can't exercise dominion in this natural world unless you've got a natural body. That's why Jesus had to come down and put on flesh and blood like us so He could walk around in the realm of the natural and exercise the dominion that had been given to mankind, only He exercised it out of a nature of life. That's why He was able to dominate the effects of the sin nature when He spoke to blind eyes and said, open. Because blind eyes are a result of the effect of sin in this world. Blindness is visual death. Do you see that? Deafness is hearing death. Life always dominates death. That's why over there in Romans where it said, if the Spirit of Him that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, He shall also quicken your mortal bodies by that same Spirit. He's not saying, it's a capital S, it shouldn't be capital S. He's not saying Holy Ghost. That's not the Holy Spirit. He's saying if the life of God that caused Jesus to rise up from the dead, if that life also dwells on the inside of you, it is by the power of that life that your mortal bodies shall be quickened. Not just changed in a moment in a twinkling of an eye, but also can change or quicken or bring to life anything in your body that has succumbed to the effects of death, including deaf ears, blind eyes, lame legs. All of these things are a type of death operating your body. And He's saying, if the Spirit of God, the life of God Himself dwells on the inside of you, then the power of that life can bring about healing in your mortal bodies.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And so Jesus, He was simply doing what God had commissioned back in Genesis chapter 1. He was exercising dominion here on earth, but He was doing it out of a life nature instead of a sin nature. And from the time Adam had fallen to the time of Jesus, everybody had a sin nature. By their soul, they could do their best to make choices to serve God, but they still had a sin nature. And they also still had dominion, but that dominion came out of a sin nature. Jesus comes along and He says, let me show you the way it was supposed to have been ever since Genesis. Let me show you what could have been if Adam had simply exercised his dominion. Because the devil could not arbitrarily do what he wanted to do because he didn't have a body that qualified him to exercise dominion. He had to do something to get the nature of man changed so that man's nature would be like his own nature. And because they two had the same nature, He was able then to motivate, move upon man to perform in the natural the devil's own lusts. That's why they're stealing and killing and destroying. That's why these things happen. It comes out of a sin nature. Now, when we get born again, look over in 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 3. Now see, when we get born again, this changes. We no longer have a sin nature. When we get born again, we now have the life, the Spirit of Him. We have that resurrection life, that new nature, that born-again Spirit. We have that on the inside. That's who we have become. We've had a change of natures on the inside. We still have dominion. We never lost dominion, but now that we have a life nature on the inside, now that we're born again, we have a nature that has the ability and the capacity to understand how we're supposed to operate in this world, how things are supposed to be. Beforehand, we had a sin nature that had no kind of relationship with God, but now that we have God's nature as His children, we have the ability to operate in the realm of the natural, exercising dominion in this natural the way God's wanted it all along. Remember in Genesis, He said, let us make man as our reflection. Let us make man to have the ability to operate the same pattern, method by which we operate. Man shall be a pattern after us, and he shall exist as our reflection. All right, now when we get born again, it goes back to what it was in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now where the Spirit of the Lord is, it says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It goes all the way back to what it started with. We're created in His image in Genesis. There's a change of nature through sin. But when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, there's another change of nature that takes place. We now have the nature that God started with in man back in Genesis. We now have that same image on the inside of us. It's back to the way it should be. And the only thing that has yet to change is the glorification of that which is natural. Our bodies. And then this planet, over in Romans chapter 8, God talks, or the Paul writes about that, where he says that creation itself groans, waiting for the appearance of the sons of God. In other words, it's saying, waiting for that moment when everything has come to that final point of change. Because creation, it's like he's saying, creation itself knows there's coming a day that when all of the sons, the children of God, are glorified. All of us trees, all of us planets, all of us creation, we too are going to be glorified. We too are no longer going to have to suffer under the strain of the effects of the power of sin that's been released unto us, creation. He says here that we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. In other words, He has become our reflection. We are reflections in essence of each other. He is who we are now. And it says, we see Him, Jesus. Now we don't literally see Him, but we see the revelation of Him right here in the Word. The image of Jesus given to us by Scripture, this is what we are changing into from glory to glory. Now, when he says from glory to glory, look over in Colossians chapter 1. In fact, if you want to, you can keep your marker right here. In 2 Corinthians, in Colossians chapter 1. Remember, God said, let man have dominion. A dominion is a place where you rule and reign. When we get born again, we now have a change of nature so that we operate. We're supposed to operate now. We have the ability to operate in the same way that God wanted us to operate from day one. We've always had the dominion, but now we exercise that dominion out of our new nature. When the devil went to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, all these things have been given unto me. Hey, Jesus, I'll give you the power of it and the glory of them if you just simply worship me. I'll give all this to you, Jesus. What the devil was saying was this. Because of their nature, the devil wasn't saying this. This is what is revealed in that passage, in his statement. This is what was revealed in it. because of their nature, because they've got a nature just like me, I can't operate in the realm of the natural the way that I'd like to because I don't have a body like theirs. And you got to have a body like theirs to exercise that kind of dominion in creation. But because they've got a nature like mine, that makes me their Lord. Because I am their Lord, I can move upon them because we have the same nature to move them to carry out my lusts and to perform these things that I want. When we get born again, we no longer have that nature. We've got a new nature and we've got a new Lord. Over, and I want you to see this. I don't know how many fingers you've got, but look over in Revelation. Let me show you something. Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse 5. It's talking here, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He's saying, listen, no longer is Satan your Lord. You are a king. You are a priest exercising dominion in the realm of the dominion God gave you all the way back in Genesis. But you no longer have a nature of Lord Satan. Now you've got a nature of God Himself, and you are now operating as a king in the realm of the natural as God would operate. Amen. A complete and total change. Now over there in Colossians chapter 1, look at this. Paul says in verse 25 that I'm made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He didn't say Jesus in you, the hope of glory. He said Christ in you, the hope of glory. Another way that he could have written this would be the life of God on the inside of you, which is the hope of glory residing on the inside of you. And it says over there in 2 Corinthians that now that we're born again, Jesus Christ, not the devil, but Jesus Christ is the model, the pattern. He is the one that we have been born again in the image of. And we are changed or conformed greater and greater into that image from glory to glory. Or in other words, you can kind of paraphrase it like this. It is the life of God in you, that anointed life, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and you are changed into that same image from glory to glory as you spend time in the presence of the one you are now the reflection of. As I get in His presence and I stay there with Him, it's not just a matter that I've been born again and I now have His nature. It's a matter of me growing into the position of understanding my place as a king in the realm of the natural with the right to exercise the dominion God gave man all the way back in Genesis chapter 1. And now I exercise that dominion out of a nature of life because I've been born again. This is why we can go up to sickness and disease and say, in the name of Jesus, fever, leave this body. In the name of Jesus, sickness, depart from this body. In the name of Jesus, disease, lame legs, blind eyes, deaf ears, depart from this body in the name of Jesus. I'm simply operating in my dominion on this earth in the realm of the natural the way God had intended me to do it all along. But now I'm not doing it under the lordship of the devil. I'm doing it under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's why when Jesus said, in my name, or based upon my lordship, you're going to be able and go out there and do these things that you've seen me do, because it's according to the nature of life. I've exercised dominion over the effects of death. And when you get born again and have my nature, you can do the same thing. So it's not a matter of, you know, in the name of Jesus being some kind of magical incantation. And we go around and we say, well, in the name of Jesus this, in the name of Jesus that. And things don't happen. It sounds like the Bible's a liar. He says, no, you don't understand. It works. But see, you have my life in you, which is the hope of glory. And you've got to be changed from glory to glory to glory. To operate in the realm of the natural by the power of that life that you've received when you were born again, and dominate the effects of death. Dominate the effects of sin. You are to do what I did. You're to pick up where I left off. And go out there and do these things, because God has ordained from Genesis chapter 1 that you have dominion in this life. What's that mean? I've got dominion over poverty. I've got dominion over depression. I've got dominion over sickness and disease. I have this dominion. And I can exercise it. But if I don't come to the point of understanding my dominion, and understanding that this is something that God has decreed from the very... it was in His mind before He even began creation. This is what He was going to do. Now I can do it through my new nature because I'm born again. That's why I can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Because I'm operating my dominion by new nature. And that new nature can't produce sickness or disease. But it dominates it. And the more I stay in His presence and I am changed, conforming more to His perfect image from glory to glory, I begin to see things happen that have never happened before. I begin to see my dominion operating through me the way God wanted it, all the way back from the beginning. You are born again, translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And He's given you His nature to continue dominating in the realm of the natural. So what do you say we dominate? Why do you say we do it? Stand up.